This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. And this is October 26th, and you're listening to Invest Talk. Above average investing for the average investor. That's what we discuss here and try to help you become better. As you know, if you listen to us for any length of time, I try to cut through the clutter and bring you the straight stuff. I don't try to beat around the bush. Justin and I are trying to be as honest and clear as we can be. We answer your questions and about stocks, you know that, and other asset choices. But we also like to stress that you have to consider the whole picture. Not just one stock, two stocks, five stocks in your portfolio, but the makeup, the mix of the portfolio is very important. And of course, you also have to think about your tax situation, your income needs, your family's needs, goals and objectives, and all that, and how much risk do you really want to take? So let's try to take the comprehensive approach, not just individual stocks. Now, you want to be sure that the investment vehicles and strategy you choose actually help you reach the goals that you want. Now, you have different goals at different stages of your life. You know, and when you're young, your goal is you want to make more money and, you know, start a family maybe and start gathering assets and get rich. When you're older, you know, you don't have that, you still want to be rich. But if you're not there already, then now you also have the issue, I got to protect what I've earned all my life to grow and save. You got to protect it. So there's different points in the stages of your life. Now let's go ahead and open up the 24-hour listener line now, check for questions. Here's one that came in before today's Invest Talk.
Yeah, hi, Steve and Justin. I had a question about cash management. So for example, in TD Ameritrade, if you have a cash pool, and you want to hold it for a period of time in cash, then what is it that you're using? Are you using one of their money market accounts? Are you putting it into an ETF, a bond fund, or exactly how are you holding cash in there? Thank you very much. Have a great podcast.
Well, TD is one of our custodians, and what we use is we use the money market fund, the U.S. government money market, short-term money market fund. So I like my cash to be extremely safe. You know, you could put that in other investments. There's different kinds of short duration bond funds that can earn you 1-2% that are very stable. So you can invest them in other things for money that you just don't want to risk to the market. But we use the short term government fund, money market fund, at our two custodians. Okay, TD Ameritrade being one and Fidelity being the other. Did you notice that Fidelity is not really the custodian? The company's called National Financial Services, 100% owned by Fidelity. But it's not Fidelity as the custodian of your account. They're the broker-dealer. They're the, they're not the custodian. National Financial Services, Inc. is on all your Fidelity accounts. And if you read the fine print on the statement, you'll see it there. Okay, 888-99-CHART. We're going to go start off by going to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm well. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
I'd like to ask about Mattel, M-A-T. They just had their earnings announcement today, and they missed pretty big, and it looks like the stock is going to fall very sharply. I also believe they're suspending their dividend, which I don't know if that's a temporary adjustment or given the fact that it has beaten up, do you still believe that it's a company of value that might turn around down the road again? Or do you think it could possibly even be bought out at some point?
Well, Mattel, everybody, symbol MAT. Of course, they manufacture toys worldwide under Mattel, Fisher Price, and American Girl brands, and they missed their numbers. It's interesting that there's insiders buying here at this low price. They've been buying since March of this year, so they feel comfortable. But I think they missed numbers overnight, and they're going to be down. It's a $5 billion company, going to make 91 cents next year, and it's a $15.37 stock. So it's around 15, 16 PE based on next year's earnings. But the reason why it's hurting so much is that earnings have been going down since 2012 every year, and they're going to finally bottom out. Last year, they made $1.06 a share. This year, they're going to make 70 cents a share. Next year, they're going to make 91 cents a share. That's what it is. But, you know, James, if they're going to cut the dividend, did they say how much they're going to cut the dividend?
They did. I just read that it was suspended, that it has been suspended. Oh, suspended. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, that means that they intend to go back to the dividend, but for the time being, they're not, for whatever reason. Because they're probably having a short-term cash flow issue or something. That's a nice way of saying we're cutting our dividend off. But that's, the fact is, you're not going to get the dividend anymore. And it was a 3.9% dividend. So, James, that compounds the problem, because all those mutual funds and ETFs that focus on dividends will sell Mattel out of their portfolio. Right? Therefore, pressure downward on the price. You're going to have to wait a few days to see how this shakes out.
What, okay. Do you know a good place where it would be to pick up if it were to go down to, say, $9, or should I wait for even less? Do you think that's possible?
Well, I'm thinking it's pretty close to the bottom. I mean, this is where it should find support. If it doesn't find support here, now I'm very nervous about the health of the company. It might be a value trap, And it's all about sales. And here we are going into the best time of the year for toy companies, right? I mean, from Thanksgiving on, I think that's where almost all toy companies make their profits for the year. So, I don't know. I would not be interested in Mattel. I think it's got too many problems, too many warts.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Thank you. Let's take a look at the news council carousel for Invest Talk Insiders on InvestTalk.com. These are the stories and features being reported by major financial news outlets. From NBC, despite the prospect of tax cuts, stocks of higher tax companies lag the market. You got the outlook for U.S. natural gas price 2018-2009. Supply and demand set to rise sharply over the next 2 years. Supply and demand. So both of them are going to go up. Now, this carousel always has different articles coming in all the time. We call it a carousel because they rotate. You can go back and forward depending on which story you want to look at. We have stories from Fortune. We have stories from CNBC, MarketWatch, you name it, Seeking Alpha, you name it, we have it. Those are stories. You can read more about that and many other important financial stories by just going to investtalk.com and become an InvestTalk Insider. It's free. You don't have to fill out anything, really. Just sign up. And the sign up is, nothing more than pretty much an email address. And we don't even use the email address to bug you. We don't. So look for the InvestTalk tab on then InvestTalk Insiders. I'm financial writer Steve Peasley. This is InvestTalk. Here's what Robert Arnott said about investing. In investing, what is comfortable is rarely profitable. You do have to stick your neck out some, but not too much. We're here to help you keep your risk within boundaries, not sticking your neck out too far. 888-99-CHARTER is our number for any money questions you might have. So what's on your list of topics today? Two millennials discuss how they started investing and what apps and platforms are out there to help new investors. Can an app be your entry into investing? And that's going to be our main talking point today. But we have others. I have others, of course. Employers are raising their standards of hiring, according to a recent study. Talk about that. John Bogle, you know who he is? Says his company, he founded 42 years ago, is almost too big and successful. What are you talking about? And if you want to be rich, Some very simple things you can do. Very simple things. I can show you how you can get free money. Well, most of the time, anyways. The market was mixed today. The Dow was up 71 points. It sounded like it was good, huh? The NASDAQ was down 8, and the S&P was up 3. So that's a mixed market. It's really interesting that only a very few Dow stocks are pushing the Dow index up. Remember, the Dow only has 30 stocks. And, you know, how the indexes are weighted, and either market cap weighted or price weighted, means a great deal on what makes the index go up and down. So be very interesting. It was very interesting. And you know how I've been giving you the up and down on volume, how many stocks were up on volume, how many stocks were down on volume. Today, the up volume, stocks up on volume, yeah, and when I say volume, I mean high volume. Stocks up on high volume, 136, and stocks down on high volume, 305. Now, what does that indicate? See, high volume indicates interest or lack of interest in something. So if someone really likes a stock, and a bunch of someone's like it, they drive up the volume and the price. And a lot of people like it, meaning that there's a lot of support to push that thing up higher. The same thing is true going down. If a lot of people don't like it, they push it down and then continue pushing it down with more people coming in. So volume, that high volume is kind of an important indicator. And we've had, you know, since August, basically, a lot more stocks going down on high volume than stocks going up on high volume. And that tells us that the market is very narrow. And that's why a lot of you are not performing very well. Don't think it's just you. It's not you. You're getting a skewed perception by the media and how they report the Dow and the S&P, and because they don't really tell you the whole story. The whole market, if you look at all the stocks and give them equal weighting, the market is not up. I mean, let me rephrase that. It's not up very much. Not. Let's go to Cindy in the Bay Area. How you doing, Cindy?
I'd like to know what you think about Tesla. I own some Tesla, and the price has been going down, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts on those.
I think Tesla is probably going to go down more. I'm biased because we are shorting the stock in one of our managed accounts. We're thinking the stock is going to go down. And the stock was just is too frothy. Everybody was way too happy when it was around $380, $390 a share. Now it's at $326. And, you know, everybody thought that there was going to, you know, everything is going to come out perfect with a new model. And, you know, if you know anything in any of history about Tesla, when they first came out with their first vehicle, they had huge problems getting them manufactured for months and months, or a year or two. And the new Model 3, they produce half of what they said they were going to do in the first month. Half. So I think they're going to have problems. I like the company. As far as the concept of electric cars, I think it's great. But they don't make any money. They don't probably not going to make money for years. And here they are selling at a price stock of $326 or a company that doesn't make money. Now, the thing you have is got lots of sales growth. Lots of sales growth. But they're not going to make money for years. I don't know how many years. Probably 2020, 2021, maybe. I'm not keen on it. I tell them. I'm here to encourage you to invest in yourself. Invest time in learning and preparing before you plop down any of your hard-earned money. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering if you can tell me why the pipeline MLPs seem to be tanking, and if you think it's a buying opportunity.
It will once it's done tanking. The Master Limited Partners, there's different kinds. Do you have any particular? Are you talking about the you said the pipelines. Are you talking about natural gas or oil?
Yeah. The pipelines, yeah.
Yeah.
The gas pipeline.
Well, one of the Yeah, the gas prices. You know, they always are, always have been pretty volatile. Everybody falls in love with the dividends, but you got to be very careful of which ones you're going to pick. You have to look at the contracts they have. Are they long-term contracts with the oil and natural gas producers? And if oil and natural gas prices go down, then they're going to be affected by that as well. Even though, you know, gasoline, oil prices have stayed up pretty good. And
right.
It looks like natural gas prices are firming up. I'm thinking, I'm not sure why they're going down. But, you know, investors look forward. Maybe they know something I don't know. I tend to stay away from those darn things because they're so volatile.
What about, like, closed-end funds?
Well, there's nothing wrong with them. If you're buying them, you know the tax consequences are different in master limited partnerships. So if they're MLPs, you got to understand what the tax situation is. You might get K-1s. K-1s meaning your partner. If you buy them in a ETF, you still have those same kinds of issues. John, I can't tell you why they're not doing well, because I'm not into them, because I wrote them up several years ago, and when I started getting those stupid K-1s at the end of the year for my clients, it was just too darn difficult. You know, the clients were confused. It was very messy. So I kind of stay away from them.
Okay.
Appreciate the call, John.
Thank you.
Let's go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. I have a question regarding, like, you always say buying the dip, right? Buying to the dip. So when there is a little dip or something, do you have any strategy for it? I think 2 days ago, there's a little bit, right? So I bought some of the stock. I have a target price. So it was, I think I put a limited order in. They just got filled. But some of them, it's just they're like 20 cents different. So they are not, I didn't buy them. So, like, when you decide to buy into the dip, it's like a general question regarding,
buying dips doesn't, buying the dip doesn't mean a dip is 1 day. 1 day is not a dip.
Okay.
It has to be over a period of time, several weeks. You know, that it's been weak and the stock is falling, or even several months that it's been falling and just seems to keep falling. You wait till it stops falling. Well, how do you know when it stops falling? Well, you want to see it break up from that low point. And what you want to do is put some kind of rule in, like, well, if it breaks up and moves higher than the 20-day moving average, then I will buy into it, because it least now broke above some support of some resistance of 20-day moving average. You have to set up some rules, but it can't be like 1 day kind of thing. Oh, it dipped today, therefore I'm going to buy it. That's not a dip.
Okay.
Okay. That's
okay. So
when I talk about dips,
in general, like a moving average, which one do you usually use to all depends on the stock.
I wish it was that simple. Just use the 20-day moving average. That is a good common one to use, but it depends on how volatile the stock is. If it's one of those big blue chip stocks that moves very slow, then you might use a 10-day moving average. You know, if it's a stock that moves fairly quickly, you might have a longer-term average, maybe 20-day. Plus, you can also use support and resistance lines of the chart itself. You know, maybe it falls to a price it fell to 6 months ago, and then it's starting to bounce from that. Well, that's support. You might want to buy that because it bounced off what it was once before. There's different rules, Wendy. I wish it was simple. It's just
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm
thank you.
Reading your book right now. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call, Wendy.
Thank you.
Noel, Can you hold on for the next, for the after the break? I hope you can, because I have a hard break. You want to talk about BLK? I'll be happy to talk about that. Okay, Noel, coming up on tomorrow's Invest Talk, knowing the ins and outs of both types of savings vehicles can help you make the right choice for your retirement. When to switch from a Roth IRA to a traditional 401k or IRA. That's tomorrow. What's your topic today? My direct line between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, we'd like to invite you to sign up for our next wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. So if you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. And if you're looking for value for the long-term investor, Steve and Justin have bargain hunting techniques to share. So here's what you'll learn: how you can tell if a market is over or undervalued, how to find income opportunities, how to create an income portfolio. So join us. It's a live webinar Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. There is no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link to join us live. And because it is live, you can ask your questions anytime during the hour. Sign up now if you'd like on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then webinars. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective, where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your questions. 888-99-CHART is our direct line.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. What's on your mind? Noel, Uncle, thank you for holding. I do really appreciate it. Noel in Napa, how you doing?
Excellent. Yeah, I was curious about... I hear the name BlackRock thrown around occasionally, and I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Is it a big mutual fund or something? It must be big. Anyhow, they're large holders in some of the stocks they own, and one company in particular, it looks like different branches of BlackRock have holdings in the same company. I was just wondering what they are.
Okay, BlackRock is a big financial institution. Okay, that's what BlackRock Inc. is. It manages mm-hmm. fixed income, cash, equity, alternative asset products, institutional and individual investors. Okay, so it gathers money and it does different things with them. It lends them out. They have ETFs. They have all kinds of financial products. So, you know, BlackRock is been around a while. It's a big company, $76 billion, so it's not small. And that's all they are. They're a big financial institution.
Do they take money from investors like me?
Sure they will. But, they have different products they sell, like a mutual fund or an ETF. You know,
depending
on a mastered limited partnership.
What product you buy into that they offer.
That's right. Or you can buy their stock.
Okay.
Okay. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
appreciate it, Noel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Thanks
I'm not looking to invest in them, but I just kind of curious what they were all about. I didn't know. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good question. Thank you for the call. Believe it or not, they haven't been around that long. They IPO'd in 1999. I mean, they were big before the IPO, initial public offering. Let's go to Adam in Sacramento. How you doing, Adam?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Let's see, I have a friend whose mom is coming into about $70,000, and he was curious on how she should invest it, and she wants to keep some of it accessible within short time, which would be about 3 months. So I gave him some advice, but I wanted to hear what a professional has to say. It actually knows what they're doing. So I'm just looking for some advice on how he should invest that, or how she.
Ask a couple of questions? She wants to use a chunk of it in about 3 months. And when you say how do you have, does it half or is it 10,000 or what? What's a chunk?
Yeah, no, I think she wants to invest all of it, but wants to have some of it maybe accessible within a 3 month time period. I'd say about 25% of it she'd like it, and the rest of it could be a little bit longer term investments, maybe up to 5 years.
Okay. Okay, well, there's different things you can do. You don't want, if you're going to need money within a year or so, I never tell people to put that in the stock market because it's too risky. But there are instruments in the stock market that are a lot less risky than other instruments. So the stuff that she wants to leave alone for 5 years, the amount of money she wants to leave for alone for 5 years, she can be a passive investor, maybe dollar cost average into an index fund or so. That's the money that she doesn't want to be too aggressive with. The other money, say 25% of it, maybe a short-term bond fund or a stable value fund where she won't make much money, but it's easily liquidated. You can easily liquidate it and she'll make something, you know, without too much risk.
Short-term
so
bond.
So what advice did you give her?
25%.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what did you? What kind of advice did you give her?
I told him to split it into, you know, 25% or 20% in cash, and then another 20% of it or 25% of it in a short term like a bond ladder, and of individual bonds, and then the other 50% that's left over, I told him to split between an S&P 500 index, and then the other chunk of money that's left over to go into a foreign market index, maybe like a European stock market or something like that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that advice. I like it.
Okay.
That sounds good. Okay, you did
all
right.
Well,
appreciate
well, thank
the call.
You very much.
No problem, Adam. Thank you. Let's go to Matthew in New Jersey. How you doing, Matthew?
Hi, Steve. Doing good. I have a question for you regarding Celgene. I don't know if you saw today, but they got destroyed on their earnings. They're down 16% throughout the day. And I was they're down below 100 right now. And I was curious what you thought the future prospects would be for it. They lowered guidance up to year 2020. So hopefully they could exceed those lower expectations. What's your take on the pretty dramatic fall today?
Okay, let me ask a question because I didn't see the news. They missed their numbers. Was it anything, this is what I would look for, Matthew, was it anything that was systemic that they missed the numbers because, you know, the competition was too tough for them and that their business model isn't going to work? Or was it just a short-term situation in which, you know, orders weren't coming as fast as they normally were because they had a lot of business in Florida during the hurricane season. You know what I'm saying? Is there some, I try to find out why they missed. And if that's not a long-term issue, it was a short-term issue, and their sales growth is still growing, then this would be an opportunity to buy the stock. Not yet. Please, not yet. But a big fall like this for big company that's $78 billion in size, usually this is kind of an opportunity. Remember, I don't know if you were listening early on, we were talking about dips. Well, this sounds like a nice big dip. It was $145 stock only, what, beginning of October? And now it's $100 stock, $99.99 today? That's, you know, a huge fall. Now, you want to look and see, well, is it justified for it to lose that much money? And I have a feeling it may not be justified. So.
Okay, thank
you. Go ahead.
I'm going to look into what they cited as the reason for the earnings or the downgrade in earnings for the next couple of years. And if it's something macro that is out of their control, then I would say it's not a justified fall. But
yeah,
if it's something
then that's
competition
the kind of thing.
Or continue.
Yeah. Yeah, or if they lost a patent on something and they don't have something to replace it. Because, you know, develop therapies, treat cancer and that kind of stuff. are, you know, it's very, this is the kind of thing that you look for the reason, and if the reason is not systemic and long-lasting, then you look for a place to buy the stock. You want to let it settle down first, though. Don't buy it yet until it's, you know, settled down and you know where the bottom is. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew. Yeah, companies don't always have smooth sailing. They hit roads, bumps in the roads. But when they're a $78 billion company, their bump in the road is probably not going to destroy them. So, and usually companies get overbought and they get oversold. This is probably way oversold. And it might be our two. Remember we talked about that this week when someone called about, I think it was PCG, which is Pacific Gas and Electric Company. And I said I thought that was an opportunity because of the fires and up in the Napa and where the stock was really beaten up because everybody's thinking that it was their fault, the power lines. That's the kind of thing, you know, could this be the same kind of issue with Celgene or is it something more dire? Because, you know, and remember the British Petroleum oil spill years and years and years ago? Remember that? Company was just crushed. Have you looked at British Petroleum lately? See, I mean, you know, you look for opportunities like that. They may be long-term, they may be short-term, intermediate-term. I don't know. It depends on the situation. Employers are raising standards of hiring for employees. This is a recent study. It said more than 50% of middle-skilled jobs, sales representatives, administrative assistants kind of thing, now require college degrees. So more than 50%. That's up about 10% from 2007 level. So employers are demanding higher and higher standards for just to get hired for a middle-level skilled type of job. So, you know, there's always that argument that, you know, does everybody need to go to college? And, well, not necessarily. I'm not saying that. But it's very difficult to fight this trend. So just pay attention. You know, if you have kids or grandkids, you might want to talk to them about it. It's going to be very difficult to find a good paying job without a good degree. And tell them to stop getting those soft degrees like history and art and, you know, the arts. Get engineering degrees. Get a, you know, something that is going to be demanded in the future and be in high demand. Anyways, 888-99-CHARGE is our number. I will be in San Jose on the 8th of November, filling up fast. Those time slots are filling up fast. I think I have a couple left in the morning. Now, if you'd like to reserve your 1 hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. Or we can meet up anytime via Skype or telephone. You can reserve a spot on the calendar whenever you're ready on investtalk.com.
Sign up is now open for our next Invest Talk Wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. If you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. And if you're looking for value for the long-time investor, Steve and Justin have bargain hunting techniques to share. Join us for this live webinar Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. There's no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link to join us. And because it's live, you can ask your questions anytime during the hour. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Webinars.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Raul from Flower Mound. I was calling about the VIX, V-I-X, and whether some of the funds or the shares that use it can be used as a defensive measure. Everybody keeps talking about how stocks are so high and we're looking for the next crash. I was once wondering if a defensive strategy on something like VXX, the stock is VXX, would be a good strategy to protect against some of the downfall. It seems to have done well in 2008. I don't have any data past 2008. I was wondering if you did, and if there was any reason to my thoughts, I guess. Again, that's VXX. Thank you.
Your thinking is correct, but it probably not going to work very well. Just why? Why? Because the VXX, which is supposed to be tracking the VIX, does not work. It does not track the VIX. And all you have to do is look at a chart, a one-year chart, type in VXX, and then go type in the actual VIX, which is dollar sign, VIX. Okay, that's the actual index, the VIX index. And you'll see that the VXX continually falls where the actual VIX goes flat. It doesn't continually fall. Now, it is true that VIX will spike if the market tanks. It will. But while you're waiting for that to happen, you're losing more and more and more money owning the VXX. So it only can be used in a very short term, and it spikes fast, day, 2 days, 3 days. I mean, it spikes quickly. You know, if you're in a full bear market, then it will stay moving up over a period of time, like it did in 2008. But corrections are very short and fast, and so fast and short, most people can't trade them. It's too difficult. Okay? So I would not use VXX. It's not what you think it is. It's not tracking the VIX. I wish there was something out there, because then you can buy it when the VIX is down around 10, 11. And if you had an ETF that tracked it exactly, then it would, your money, you wouldn't lose any more money. It would just be dead money until it spiked. Okay. I can do that over a period of time. Sure, I'll go with that. But that's not how it works. Take a look. VXX continually falls. Continually. And then they do reverse splits. You know what that is? Because it continually falls, they reverse split it to get the price up. Then it falls more and more and more. Then they reverse split it again. Don't do it. Not going to work on you. Time for InvestTalk 101, everybody. But we're probably going to have to postpone that. Yeah, we'll have to pick that up by the following, you know, after the break. We have to go to the break. You're listening to Invest Talk. We have just a few moments remaining in the hour, as you know, but there's still time for you. Reach me now, right now, 888-99-CHART. John Bogle. You know who John Bogle is? He's an old guy. He started a company 42 years ago, and that company is called Vanguard. Vanguard. And John Bogle, B-O-G-L-E, is very vocal about his opinions. And he is, he's been pretty, the last time I talked to him on this show was about his worry about ETFs. Not in and of themselves, but the amount that ETFs dominate in passive index investing in addition to mutual funds. But ETFs was more of a concern because you can buy and sell them instantly, whereas a mutual fund, you have to buy them at the end of the day, or sell them at the end of the day, or buy them at the end of the day. And mutual funds usually hold cash to some cash to redeem the shares when people want to sell them, whereas ETFs, there's no cash. They're fully invested all the time. And so that was the last time I talked to him. This time he was worried that his company is too big. Too big. It has a little over $4 trillion under management. It's had $267 billion inflowed this year, 2017. $28 billion just last month. Billion with a B. Coming into passive investments. Remember, several months ago, he's worried about these passive investments. Well, be that as it may. And the reason why he's saying that there's a limit to the size that his company can grow, because there are rules right now that no company can own more than 10% of any one company's share, or no individual can do it, and so on and so forth. There's rules. And they might bump up against some of those rules and all those passive and active funds they have, and all the money they have. Also, he worries about being this big and dominant, that attracts government scrutiny in other ways. And he's worried that that's something that, you know, that could be a problem for a company like Vanguard. They have, he says, we have their fees are very, very, very low. And that's one of the reasons why they've attracted so much money. So they don't have a lot of war chest to fight off government interference and those kind of things. They have some, but they don't have the ability or the desire or, you know, and they don't want to run into those kind of problems. But when you get big, look at every big company ever. The one I remember the most is AT&T when I was in my early 20s, and they broke up AT&T as a monopoly into all those Pacific Bell companies. Then IBM. IBM was sued for years upon years upon years by the government as a monopoly, and then they finally dropped it when all of a sudden IBM was no longer dominant because the PC came about. Now look at all the trouble, you know, companies like Google and, you know, the big, huge tech companies are having, especially in Europe, where they're getting fined. Apple, you name it. Big companies attract government attention and get sued or told to how they conduct, how to conduct business or whatever. And this is a worry of his. I think it's perfectly legitimate as a worry, to be honest, because it can be a problem. If you want to be rich, that's not that hard. Depends on how early you start, really. Let's try to answer one more question before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART is our 24-hour listener line number.
Hi, my name is Adam. I listen to him podcast. I really enjoy your show. I have a question for you about Coca-Cola. I just wanted to get your opinion on the company and see what you thought might be a reasonable time to buy a position. Thank you.
Okay, Coca-Cola. K-O, I'm assuming, is which, because they have different Coca-Colas. You know, one's a bottler, one's a, yeah, they have different things. The K-O Coca-Cola, the main company, manufactures non-alcoholic beverage, concentrate, syrups, sold bottles. Its sales have been going down steadily, Coca-Cola. But the ETF, the PE is still pretty high at 24, so I would not be a buyer of Coca-Cola at this point. They pay a nice dividend. When they have a fall, they go down to the low 40s or the high 40s now, maybe there's, it'd be more attractive, but not right now. Okay? Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, our sign-up is now open for our wealth webinar coming up on November 16th at 6:30 p.m. It's 1 hour. How to find income and value in an overpriced market. If you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. If you're looking for value for the long term, we can talk about that. We're going to show you what we can do. It's hard, but you can do it. Sign up now on InvestTalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I'm glad you could be with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at the whole KPP, I do want to thank you for being part of the program, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.